good morning. For all of you who got up early and did your makeup, I'm sorry to report that the on-air is not going to be recorded this morning. We will be orally recorded, but we will not be visually recorded.
Okay, you wore your best tonight.
Oh, yeah, it's a tie, not the makeup. Thank you. So, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the October 24th, 2013 meeting of the Illinois State Highway Authority. Let's start with the call to order.
Governor Pat Quinn, Secretary Schneider, Chair Wolf,
here.
Director Bain,
here.
Director Darcy,
here.
Director Dodson, Director Gonzalez,
here.
Director Peterson,
here.
Director Reddick,
here.
Director Sweeney,
here.
Director Weissman,
here.
Chair, we have a forum.
Thank you very much. I have not been notified that anyone wishes to make public comment. Is there anyone here who wanted to make public comment? Okay, thank you. So then I'd like to call for a motion for approval of the minutes of the board meeting and the executive session held on September 26th of 2013.
Motion to approve.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. The minutes are approved. Then we'll turn to committee reports. Let's start with the finance.
Okay. The finance and the administration committee met last Wednesday, October 16th. Finance gave a presentation of the 2014 tentative budget. Mike and Cassie Williams will present to the full board later in the meeting today. The tentative budget includes a $295 million for operations, and which is a 4.2% increase from operations and maintenance, and $1.4 million for the capital program, which includes $334 million to fund debt service for the tollway bond. The tentative budget was approved by the committee. The committee also approved the extension of the standby bond purchase agreement with the Helleva Bank. The extension is recommended by the Tollways Financial Advisors and would be approved at a lower fee, will be approved at a lower fee through the final term of the bonds, which is through January 3rd of 2017. Procurement presented two items which were approved by the committee. They were an award of an order against the CMS master contract to purchase Oracle software, licensing support, and maintenance. They're going to meet their goal, they're going to exceed their VEP goal, I think about 25% or greater. Also, there was an award to purchase an elevator maintenance and inspection repair and full hydraulic testing services, and we found out we have 29 elevators throughout the tollway system. The chief engineer contracts, one of the construction contracts, item two, must be presented to the full board for approval as the bids were not open prior to the committee meeting for us to review. One of the construction contracts, item four, is a small business set-aside contract, which is the second awarded by the board in this category. If you remember, it's part of the bridge program the Illinois Finance Development Authority came in and presented on. It's the second time we were able to use that program to help a small business. There were two professional service contracts, one change order on a construction contract, one supplement to a construction management contract, three requests for final release and retainage. They were under review for DBE consideration, which Gustavo and Paul have gone through that review and confirmed for today. There was one Land Act item, the item matches, that was introduced last month, which was discussed now, just requires board approval. There were no additional parcels added to that, is my understanding. So there will be nothing needed on that. No, that's for the Elgin O'Hare Western Access. Legal had several. There was IGA with the City of Elgin in connection with the improvement of work on I-90. The tollway will be removing and replacing the Fox River Bridge. The intergovernmental agreement will provide tollway access to land presently owned by Elgin. Tollway will get various property rights in the area for the bridge, the haul routes, and drainage maintenance. Elgin is agreeing to provide all the necessary municipal permits and provide other cooperation. There is no cost to us other than reconstructing to existing conditions after those routes are used. Another agreement was with IDOT to establish a cooperative process to enable the tollway and IDOT to share information regarding permitting processes for overweight vehicles, primarily commercial vehicles. The agreement will consist of the motor company making the permit process more efficient and will be achieved as the parties share information on the permitting process and requirements. My understanding that has been going out informally, this is formalizing that agreement as we go forward. There is also a personal injury litigation matter the committee discussed in executive session and an update on a personal injury lawsuit involving a tollway employee. The tollway's law department is directing the tollway. Doesn't require any board action. Mile-per-hour legislative update. It needs board action today. We discussed it, but action is deferred to the committee today, full board. Also, collective bargaining agreement appeared on the committee agenda. There was discussion and deferred to the full board today. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. And I want to apologize because of the DiBenedetto being on the agenda today. It was because I was unmindful to bring us back into regular session and to vote on those. So these are the ones that we did talk about last time, and there are no changes, and I'm sorry to Paul and his staff. David and his staff, who worked so hard to get them on the agenda last month, and then didn't have this month to work on them, so I apologize for that. And it will never happen again, I promise. Other committee that met was, yeah, thank you, strategic planning. I knew there was a second one.
You were there.
I was there, but it was a week ago.
I know how you feel. The strategic planning committee met on October 16th. Our main area of discussion centered on freight on the tollway and commercial trucking in particular, and looking at how we can upgrade and update our own services to serve that area of commerce better. Obviously, the Chicagoland area here is one of the top, is really a nexus for cross-country movement of freight. The commercial vehicles on the tollway constitute only about 12% of our traffic, but two-thirds of our revenue currently, and both that percentage of total traffic and the percentage of revenue will increase with time as well. And so we thought it was important to begin to look to see what we could do to modernize in that area. We talked about the Oases in the first place, that because we've had some conversations, there has been truck parking there. You know, what could we do to enhance that experience at the Oases for commercial or truck parking? How could we upgrade facilities to make it more inviting? We also talked, however, and we had gotten feedback from the industry relative to parking, the desirability of some parking. In fact, we see parking on the Oases ramps now. That's an indication that, you know, there's a demand there. And so we looked a little bit, discussed a little bit about the possibility of creating parking opportunities along the tollway and other areas other than Oases, and the toll plazas themselves may present such an opportunity in and of themselves. But we also talked about other areas along the tollway, including the possibility of working with the private sector to create parking immediately off the tollway so that there'd be direct entry and re-entry without going through the toll system. In other words, it would be virtually free for commercial folks, which is an important factor for them. So these are things that we want to look at. We talked about the standards for paving. There has been a slight upgrade, or a considerable upgrade, I should say, in the paving of I-90, that it is a stronger, longer-lasting surface, and considering the trends in commercial trucking, the fact that a lot of higher weight limits are being allowed and rules are beginning to change in that area, that we take a good look at what we want to do in the future in terms of our construction standards for tollway construction. There was, I think, a very healthy discussion, and there's a lot of areas to look at, but I think the one thing that we all realized clearly was that we need more information. And that there is really no single point of contact for freight in the region, and that we will be discussing with other entities such as IDOT and CMAP the information they've gathered, but that we do want to go directly both in terms of surveys as well as focus groups with both the representative agencies to some degree, which offer some valuable information, perhaps even more importantly, the truckers themselves, and to gather information so that we can begin to create a strategic plan for improvement of our services to commercial freight. So, okay.
Any questions?
Any questions, Bill?
I thought both meetings were really interesting, and I thought that I know the director spends time, I know the staff spends a lot of time preparing for those, and I thought actually the suggestions about different ways of looking at how you do truck parking were very creative and really thoughtful. Thank you. I don't have any other comments except just briefly to say that you will hear this. This is the biggest capital program the tollway has ever done coming up this year, which is really exciting. And we appreciate that it will be a lot of hard work, but we know we're up to it. And then there are two items on the agenda, the Managing the Move Illinois financing cost presentation and also the speed limits, which have not had an opportunity to be vetted in the committee. So I'm looking forward to the directors asking questions and sharing their opinions on these two issues. I think these are important policy decisions that we'll be making as a board. So just to give you the heads up on that. Thank you. So I'll turn it over to Christy.
Thank you. First presentation on our list, although we gave the budget presentation in committee, we always do give the same presentation, moving quickly, of course, to the full board meeting. And Mike Kelsch is going to do that. He's going to provide an overview of our balanced 2014 tentative budget. As you know, this is the first step in our budgeting process. We go out in November and have several opportunities for the public to come and visit with us about our budget and to have public comment on our budget. And then a final budget is brought to the December board for approval. This budget will provide a spending plan that's in line with our long-term Move Illinois financing plan and spending plan, but also provides $1.4 million of capital that will be spent next year on the tollway system, and that is certainly the largest annual spending thus far in the program and ever in the tollway's history. Paul loved it when I say that. I'll say $1.4 billion probably four or five more times over the course of this meeting. We are very respectful of the magnitude of that challenge and that opportunity for us next year. So, Mike, without further ado, I'll let you take it over.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Christy's hit on some of the overall big picture highlights already, but as a reminder to the board members, the tentative budget is presented for your approval in October for the Toll Highway Act and a trust indenture, which requires that we get some preliminary information on the budget out to the investor community and to the public early on. As mentioned by Christy, we do have an opportunity to take public comment and conduct public review in November. Those comments we will bring back to the board and consider before the request of final action on the budget in December. You can see that the dates that we have scheduled for the public comment and review are November 12th. It's Tuesday here at the tollway headquarters. I believe it's about 6 o'clock. The schedule is on November 19th. There's an open house at the Hinsdale Oasis. I believe that's scheduled from 3 to 6. In December, we would anticipate the board taking final action on the budget for 2014. Hopefully each of you has received a copy of this document. It's about 200 pages. It outlines all of the financial information, assumptions, the revenue, the economic and revenue assumptions made by CDM Smith, our traffic engineer, in terms of forecasting traffic and revenue for next year. But it also shows each of the department's operations, expenditures, their goals and objectives aligned with the strategic priorities the tollway has laid out previously, and those are upholding public safety, furthering transparency and accountability, enhancing customer service, promoting economic growth, increasing collaboration with other transportation agencies throughout the region, and fostering environmental responsibility and sustainability. As I mentioned, each of the department's budgets, both their accomplishments, their goals for this year, their goals and objectives for next year within this document, that spending is aligned with these priorities. With respect to 2014, the highlights, we expect revenue to continue to grow in a steady fashion throughout the remainder of 2013 and 2014. the maintenance and operations budget increases in line with our long-term financial plan. The long-term financial plan that assumed an average of 4% growth throughout the entire period of Moog, Illinois, which ran from 2012 to 2026. This operating budget increased about 4.2% over 2013. The capital program, $1.4 billion, the largest annual commitment to funding investments in our infrastructure in the tollway system. No pressure. As I mentioned, on the revenue side, revenues do show, have shown steady growth. The projection for next year in total is $1,015,000,000. That's about a 1.7% increase over the current estimate for 2013. I think, as you've heard some of the previous quarterly financial reports, our revenues were running slightly ahead of projections for 2013. CDM Smith has made some adjustments to their, some slight adjustments to their projection for toll revenue, and we've made some adjustments in evasion recovery. So you can see that increase in 2013 reflected in the change from budget to estimate now. We increased in total about $12 million from where we had started the year.
For the Elgin O'Hare, major areas of scope include the final design and start of construction of the I-290 interchange. Also, this budget of $283 million will include construction for Lane Lightning, west of Mutual Road to Irby Park Road, as well as a new interchange at I-90 and Elmhurst Road, excuse me. Also, a budget also for the Elgin O'Hare will include advanced work to support future construction throughout the corridor. So the budget for the Tri-State Tollway, the Reagan Memorial, and the Veterans Memorial, the million, and this is for design work to support construction for pavement resurfacing, ramp, and roadway construction. There's also a budget of $5 million for planning studies for the possible extension of the Illinois Route 53 corridor north of Lake Cliff Road and other planning studies. And our system-wide budget, this includes a significant commitment to maintaining the integrity of our system. It includes $128 million for bridge and pavement improvements, as well as technology improvements related to toll collection and improvements to our customer care and other IT-related projects. Lastly, our budget includes a commitment to diversity with projects such as workforce development in order to help strengthen the capacity of underutilized groups that work with firms to do business at the tollway. So those are just some of the key highlights for the 2014 budget of $1.4 billion. And lastly, our total budget, 2014 budget, some of the key highlights. It, again, it's affordable within our long-range capital plan that's been developed, our long-range financial plan. The revenues continue to show steady growth. This is the third year of the Moog Illinois program, and again, our largest commitment in a single year. Our operating costs are held at 4.2% growth, and it includes $900 million in new bond issuances to provide funding for our current and future capital costs. The budget also supports a significant investment in technology to support improved customer service. There's also additional slides in the back in the appendix that will provide a little bit more detail.
Thank you. Do you want to say anything more about this, or let me ask if there are any questions or comments on the budget presentation? A quiz on how big the capital program is.
Give Kathy and Mike a lot of credit for their efforts and all the work that went into this and staff. It's a lot of hours, but very efficiently done and very thorough. I just want to say, nice job. CDM, who did the revenue estimates, one of the things I think they're looking at, $29 million in toll increase in revenues for 2014. Is that right?
Yes.
Has that ever the projected, over the budget?
Relative to the budget.
To the budget.
And some of that increase is due to our estimate of increase in evasion recovery than what we budgeted in 2015. They have a projection of about 2% growth in traffic and revenue.
As far as the construction, that's all TDF took that into consideration, the impact of the construction cycle with those revenue projections.
They did, particularly the construction on I-9.
Any other questions or comments? I commend the budget book to directors just to link up the strategic goals with the spending. I think it's worth looking at them for all of us if you have time.
Good.
Thank you.
Next on the agenda, we have a discussion. I think there's been, some discussion in the past of the kind of strategy around our financing of our capital program. So we've invited PFM, which is our financial advisor, to come in and give a presentation on really managing New Illinois financing costs. We wanted to have a discussion with all of you on, generally managing our financing costs, but also, one decision that's in front of us currently about timing of the bond issue. So, Mike, I don't know if you want to say anything more or make a further introduction.
Yes, there's Jill Jaworski, who's a managing director of PFM. She's been assisting Kathy and I and others on the finance team with respect to our financing plan, with respect to the financing transaction that we've already undertaken. And introduce Jill to go ahead and lead us through this.
And finally, I just want to thank Mike and his staff and the work that he's engaged with Director Peterson to make sure that the board itself has at least one member who's involved in the development of these ideas. And then now we all get to be. Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me here today. I really have the pleasure of getting to meet with the finance committee members over the last year and meeting with the board chair, but I haven't had the opportunity to address the full board yet, and I'm really excited about being here this morning. I do want to start off by saying please feel free to interrupt, to ask questions. I'm sure Mike and Kathy will have comments as we move along, but I welcome the interruptions. It'll make me very nervous if I just stand up here and talk at you for 10 minutes, so please be engaged in the conversation. I'm really here to talk to you today about the Tollway's long-term financial plan, the financial plan to fund Move Illinois, essentially the borrowing part of the financial plan, the bond markets, and the exposure to those bond markets and interest rates that are inherent in this financial plan. And these risks and this exposure to the bond market is really inherent in any multi-year borrowing plan. This is sort of the essence of doing a large capital plan that you are not funding on a paper basis. So we have some questions that we want you to be thinking about today that will help guide the Tollway's move forward with these plans. The big question is really to address whether or not the Tollway should be hedging the long-term interest rate exposure in this plan. This is a challenge for every one of my clients to deal with. Sometimes, if you're dealing with small issues where you're only looking forward a year, you're looking forward 9 years. It's a long period of time. You have interest rate targets, you have budgets, you have projections. Trying to think about how to manage those is very challenging. The simplest thing to do is to say we can't call the market. We're going to issue as we need the money and move forward, and the rates will be what the rates are. But that could end up putting you in a situation where your costs are potentially higher than you want them to be. And so we think it's a good time to be thinking about, do you want to do that? Do you want to sort of enter the market as you need to? Or do you want to try to institute some program that really controls or hedges some of those risks that you have going forward?
Could you, just for the uninitiated in your world on
yes.
Wall Street, give us a quick definition of what it means to hedge?
Yeah, hedging to me, in the most simplest terms, is like buying insurance. When you think about the borrowing plan, it's no different than when you think about your own personal finances. You're planning on buying a new house in the future, or you're buying a car, and financing a second home. You put together a budget. And you assume, you know, if I get a mortgage or I get a loan at X rate, then this will fit into my budget. And you know that if in 3 years when you go to do that plan, or 2 years, if borrowing costs are higher, you may have to change that plan or simply face higher costs than you expected. So that's the type of risk that you're exposed to. There are ways to hedge that risk, which is really like buying insurance for your interest rate risk. Hedging is never free. It always involves a cost. But if interest rates go up, you'll be glad you spent that money because you'll have locked in some lower rates. If interest rates go down, you'll have spent the money to protect yourself from higher rates. It won't have benefited you financially, but you'll have done something prudent and thoughtful and protected yourself for a risk that didn't end up coming to be. So it's very much like we insure our cars, we insure our homes, we insure all kinds of aspects of our lives. There's risks out there. It may cost us money to protect ourselves. And that's an important part of, I think, about hedging. You just have to understand there are costs involved. There is no free way to protect yourself against rising rates.
So one reason the tolling as a financial manager is to help us think about what are the risks that relate to this, and to look in the crystal ball and tell us the most likely scenarios. Just to put you on the spot.
There you go.
Thank you.
Well, and I wish my crystal ball was crystal clear.
If not the most likely scenarios, then ways to manage with what some scenarios might be, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we'll get to that. We did want to just briefly review sort of what the plan is. I know you guys all know these numbers, and you particularly are keenly aware of what the numbers are for 2014. But over the full program, the numbers are $12.1 billion to fund Moveville, Illinois, and that includes $5.1 billion of bonds. So a little bit less than half of the funding is expected to come out of borrowing. About $4.8 billion of that is directly going to go to project costs, and there's about $300 million that's going to include additional deposits to the debt service reserve over time. You've already issued $500 million of those bonds. Those were issued in May. They were the 2013 Series A bonds. And there's $900 million that is planned for next year. Of the $900 million that's planned for next year, that's assumed at this point to be issued at a 5% cost of capital. The balance that is assumed to be issued from 2015 through 2023 is assumed to be issued at a 5.5% cost of capital. So right now, as we mentioned, that financial plan is currently unhedged, and so it's exposed to risk. If rates are 6% or 7% or something, your costs will be higher.
Can we just, the interest that we got on this year's bond,
was
4.1%.
Yeah, it was under. Yeah, so you in essence already, you have a little cushion from your projections already for two reasons. One is that your interest rate on what you borrowed is already lower than what you projected. But secondly, you haven't borrowed as quickly as you planned. So I think under the original plan, it would have been $1.1 billion by the end of 2013, because there was a little bit, maybe $300 million in 2012 and $800 million in 2013. So you've only issued $500 million. So $600 million bonds you haven't issued, which means $600 million you're not paying interest on today. So that definitely gives you some cushion. And when we think forward about if you decide to hedge, when you think about interest rate targets, this is going to be part of the equation, because you don't want to hedge the whole program. That's just too expensive. You want to hedge sort of the minimal amount that you need. And having a little cushion already is going to be helpful in thinking that through.
I'm sorry, just as a reminder, since we got the 4.1, the bond market has changed.
Oh, yes. We'll see that on the next slide.
Okay.
Yes, interest rates are higher. And right now, if you were to issue today, you'd actually be very close to that target rate of 5%. We looked at it with interest rates as of 2 days ago, and it was 4.95%. It was essentially the borrowing cost on the bond issue, so got quite close to the 5% target rate. So, you know, what it means to be unhedged is that, you know, if costs go higher, and you issue bonds in a higher interest rate environment, you could end up being higher than your projections. And again, it also depends on you borrowing along the schedule that was expected. So if you borrow a little slower, and these are options that may happen, you may borrow slower because you're spending slower. You may also borrow slower because you move around your mix of pay-go and borrowing, and because you have a lot of pay-as-you-go funds going in, you have some flexibility in that regard. So there's tactics and things you can do. But if you delay, that also can help mitigate some of that because you're, again, not incurring the interest loss for as long a period of time. And at the bottom, we note, you know, these numbers, I think, and why we're here today is these numbers are not insubstantial. So every 1% increase in borrowing costs over that full $4.6 billion balance is about $5 million in present value cost. So these are real dollars and definitely worth thinking about. Though in the context of your construction costs, again, that we don't want to, they're smaller, of course, than your actual construction costs, but they are.
So Jill, could you go back for the last slide? You inadvertently said 1%. It's really...
One hundredth of 1%. Yeah. 0.01%. Yes, thank you for the correction. It's a big difference. So what we have on this page is a graph that we put together that we consider to be a relatively good proxy for Illinois Tollway's borrowing rates. So this graph right here represents the municipal market data for index for 25 years. Municipal market data puts together an index of muni borrowing costs. We use the 25-year point because all of the bonds in the capital plan have a 25-year final maturity. So that's, and they will be, you know, not 25 years in average life, but close to it. So this is a good proxy. And we added about 75 basis points in credit spread, which we think is sort of the average credit spread to the index that Tollway will have over time. Right now it's a little bit higher than that. You're probably a little closer to 90 basis points just because of general market dynamics and also somewhat because of the risk that investors feel about any issuer in the state of Illinois right now, and that's costing you a little bit of money more than we think. We hope you won't be paying that over the whole time of this borrowing program. I shouldn't say any more on that topic. As you can see from this graph, though, I mean, the important part is that interest rates remain at historic lows. They are very low compared to where they have been over a longer period of time. Though they have spiked up recently, I mean, this is where, you know, when you look down here, you were able to borrow, you know, in this part, they were obviously quite low, and you know, experienced a little bit of return over the spike there. That whole run-up in interest rates was really related to the announcement by the Fed that they were going to start tapering their asset purchases. The market, the Fed buys about $80 billion, $85 billion actually, in securities every single month. Those are a combination of treasuries and mortgage-backed securities. It's impactful to the market. It's designed to keep long-term rates down. And when they announced they were going to sort of ease off, buy less bonds, and by the way, they didn't say they're going to sell anything. This was just buy less. The market really had quite a hiccup, and we saw interest rates move up quite extensively. It's not possible, as you know, to really predict what's going to happen with future interest rates. But I can tell you that I am quite confident, and other members of my firm who look at rates all the time are very confident that we have finally reached the end of what has really been a 30-year bull market in bonds. And we expect rates will start going up again. We do think that despite our expectation that rates are going to go up more, and when we say rates are going to go up, we're thinking over the next year, we're going to see rates moving up, and the year after, definitely. But we do think, despite that, we are in a little bit of a period of stability, a little pocket in the market right now where we don't think rates are going to have a tremendous amount of pressure. Now, a lot of that's because the Fed has backed off the tapering. Most economists at this point believe that they're not going to start tapering their purchases until at least March. There are some, I think it's J.P. Morgan, believes it won't happen until at least April. But generally, March is probably the consensus month that most people are looking at right now. So that buys us a little window of time there. And we had a little softening in the economy that we saw prior to the Fed shutdown. Some of the reports, job reports and whatnot, new growth were a little bit soft. The Fed shutdown is really going to only add to that. We're going to see that as we see the economic announcements over the next month. That will ripple through. That softness will really keep pressure on the Fed to not ease up on the QE3 program or to do anything that would increase rates. So we think we have a little bit of sort of, you know, stability here in the market. Now, one point that I want to make on that, though, is while we expect overall a little stability for whether it's 2, 3, 4 months, we have a little, in the next couple months, chance of some weakness in the muni market. The municipal bond market has been experiencing lessening demand for almost the entire year. So that means that folks like us, when we go and invest our funds, our retirement funds or whatnot, we're a lot less likely right now to decide to put it into a municipal bond fund than we were last year. So municipal bond funds right now are experiencing redemptions. People are pulling their money out. And the biggest buyer at the end of the day for municipal bonds is really retail buyers. I mean, most of us buy them through a fund. We don't actually go to a broker and buy a bond. But when people pull their money out of bond funds, those bond funds have to sell bonds, which means we have more supply, more bonds floating out there in the market, less demand. So we have more sellers than buyers right now. It's been going on all year. This year we've lost more money out of the municipal bond market than any year since it started being reported, which is 30 plus years ago. We don't think that will change. The stock market is on fire. The guy who does our internal morning market update says there's a new rule, you know, buy on good news, buy on bad news. So with that kind of environment, people are not rushing to go back into muni bonds. So that said, a little weakness in our market. And when you look at November and December, we have really 5 weeks to sell bonds out of the normal 8 weeks, because we'll lose a week in November for the holidays, and then in December we're going to lose 2 weeks when the market really won't function towards the end of December. We'll still have a lot of issuance, because issuers often like to sort of wrap things up by the end of the year, so there'll be a lot of other issuers who are trying to get in the market. So we could see some